as the old school song once said, it's just another manic Monday, except it's sunny and it's warm here in the DMV. Good evening to my fellow listeners, and welcome to another episode of GQ's Kickback for Blurreds. Real quick, I just want to discuss essentially what happened to one of my favorite sports teams, probably of all time. Now, most people who know me know that I am a huge fanatic, not just a fan, but I'm a huge fanatic of the mighty 17-time NBA World Champion Los Angeles Lakers. That's right. I've been a Lakers fan since I was 8 years old. The year was 1986. And I remember they were playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Houston Rockets. And I remember it was late because during those days, and even now, Lakers games didn't come on until about 10:30 on the East Coast. And I remember it was a Friday night game, and my father was cheering loud. Like, I could hear him, you know, all the way back in my room. Now, I was supposed to be asleep, you know, but he was cheering so loud, and I knew that it was for the Lakers because all he talked about was Magic and Kareem, that I remember running out of my room with my Lakers hat on, and we sat there. He let me stay up, watch the game. And ever since then, I was hooked. Even though my Lake show didn't go on to the finals because they lost to Houston in that particular Western Conference series, that solidified my fandom. So I've been a fan ever since. So yes, I'm one of those hard-headed Lakers fans that you can't tell anything bad about my team, because I'm the one that can discuss bad things about my team. And for all you other people out there who say, oh, Lakers fans and Dallas fans are the same, no, we're not. Because I can at least say that my team has won an NBA World Championship within the last 1-2 decades. So there's that. But outside of that, yes, I am a 100%, 1,000% fan of the Los Angeles Lakers. But enough about that. I wanted to get on to my rant about this, for lack of a better term, shit of a season that we had. It started off promising. It started off, you know, on paper, we looked good, you know. But at the same time, there were already questions about the age of the team. Because let's face it, the centerpiece, LeBron, is 37 years old now. And he's been doing this since, I mean, he was 18 years old. I'm talking, he was playing grown man basketball at 18 years old, okay? Like, first game, he was thrown in. There was no bench period, like, say, when Kobe, dearly departed Kobe, started in the league. You know, he had a little bit of time to chill on the bench. Well, not chill, but learn. You know, LeBron didn't get that. LeBron was, you out there, off top. So he's been playing this game a mighty long time. Carmelo, I think, is in his mid-30s. Westbrook is in his mid-30s. And then we do have some youngins, like AD, who's in his 20s. But unfortunately, he's made of glass. Like, I don't understand how he continues to be injured, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, everybody's body makeup is different, right? So, but it just on paper, despite the fact that we were considered old, on paper we looked good. But after about, I'd say, the first 10-15 games, I knew this was going to be a long, long season. I'm super pissed at the fact that we had a good, solid core, you know, that won us a championship. You know, in 2020, we had Caruso, you know, we had Kyle Kuzma, you know, we had a few other pieces. And what did they do? They got rid of those pieces, damn near gave away the farm for what? Only to end up finishing with a 39-win season and no playoffs. Not even the damn playing game. Nothing. No, nothing. Just, you put all these people together and there was nothing produced. Now, I will say the injuries played a factor, right? Because LeBron was not healthy all season. We know AD wasn't healthy all season. And I think Westbrook even had injuries. Carmelo might have had a few injuries. But still, you know, there is no way in hell that we should have only won 39 games. And not only that, but they decided to actually start winning games down the stretch. Like, the win against Denver the other night, that was bullshit. That's the way they should have been playing all season long, and they did not. And so the question keeps coming up as to who is to blame for this debacle of a season. Some people want to say, oh, you know, it's the coach. Some people say, oh, it's the GM. Well, I'm going to tell you straight up. As a Lakers fan, the blame is spread all around. I blame the GM. I blame LeBron. And I blame Jeannie Buss for even allowing this to take place. Now, was Vogel an effective coach? That's up for debate. It seemed like he caught lightning in a bottle during the COVID season, as I call it. But then last season, you know, it started to fade. This season, well, it just was not, it just seemed like it was not there. Like there was something going on there behind the scenes that I'm sure will come out in the following weeks and months ahead as to why the team did not seem to gel together. I don't know if Vogel was a part of it. I don't know if he did not have control of the locker room and they just quit responding, but something happened. But either which way, he proved not to be the effective coach that he was when he first got there. As far as LeBron, yes, this is on your shoulders too, because you decided you wanted to play with your homeboys outside of CP3. And in doing so, I think that disrupted team chemistry as well. Because let's face it, Carmelo is still serviceable, right? You know, he's still going to give you, you know, anywhere between 12 to 16 points off the bench. He's still going to give you rebounds. He's still going to, you know, give you some defense, right? But he's still serviceable. Now, Westbrook put up a lot of stats. He put up some monster stats, but it's all about him. That's the way it comes across. He may not think so, but it comes across as it's all about you and all about padding your stats. And based upon his recent performances with Houston and the Wizards, it shows that all you cared about was stats. Even before he left Oklahoma City, it showed that all he cared about was padding his stats. And so now the Lakers are stuck with a terrible-ass contract because nobody wants to take on his contract. So I don't know what they're going to do. If I was running shit, I would just pay him off and be done with it. Just eat the money and be done, you know, or try to see if I can orchestrate a trade because he got to go. Well, anyway, LeBron, this falls on your shoulders too, 100%, because you had to make the recommendation, I want so-and-so. Palinka is equally to blame. He's the GM. He could have either pushed back or said, I don't know if we should take both. We should maybe just take one, Carmelo, and not Westbrook. And then Jeannie Buss signed off on it. And now she's mad because the season went to hell. So this is just unacceptable. I mean, you have to understand, if you look at my sports teams, you know, I root for the mighty South Carolina Gamecocks. Right, I don't even need to go there. How often I've been disappointed with them, but that is my team because that is where I got my degree from. I'm a fan of the Miami Dolphins. I definitely don't need to open that door because there's just so much to unpack there. And so the Lakers were my one, I guess you could say, shining light, one spot, one ray of hope that would give me a championship or two. Here or there. It may not be consistent, but at least I know within a 5 to 10 year period, we might go a little while without getting one, but eventually I'm going to get one, you know? I mean, they had to do something right to get 17 championships, right? So that was the one shining spot I had as far as my sports teams, and they completely just let me down the season. So I don't know what is going to have to happen. I feel like they just need to blow the team up, you know, or they're going to have to find a way to package. They're going to have to trade somebody. I don't foresee them trading LeBron because he's still a draw. He still puts asses in seats. And, I mean, he's still one of the most dynamic players on earth, right? I mean, the boy's a monster, you know. That's not going to change. He might slow down with age, because that's what happens to all the greats, but he is still, you know, top five, you know. But something's going to have to give. I don't really want to see us get rid of AD, but I just feel like as if he's too injury prone. He still plays. He still balls when he plays. Oh, he balls, but he's too injury prone. And the bottom line is, we at Laker Nation, we expect more. We deserve more. Okay, this is not, we are not used to being in such a position where we are either fighting for our lives in a play-in game. That's just not what we do, you know. When everybody knows when the playoffs comes, the Lakers are going to be somewhere in the top five. That's what it used to be, but, you know, just not this time around now. You know, we don't do ping pong balls. Like, we don't do, you know, the pre-NBA draft thing where, you know, our team's number is thrown into the ping pong machine and we draft 1 through 10. That's not what we do, okay? Our track record shows that we normally are like one of the last teams to pick in the draft. We are not that team, you know? And now it seems like as if we're sliding again, into that depth. Like what happened, say, right around, I think it was 2016, 17, even 18. Yes, I don't know what they need to do. I know if I could wave the magic wand for a day, I would make a whole bunch of wholesale changes, because I want championship number 18. You can see my fanatic side coming out. I want championship number 18. We're going to get it eventually, but not with the way things are structured now. So I don't know what needs to happen, but something needs to happen. And they need to do it soon. But that's enough of a rant on that subject today. I thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, there's going to be plenty more. Feel free to share the podcast. Talk about it with your people. Talk about it amongst your friends. Feel free to reach out to me. You know, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook with more. Like I said, to come. So, and on that note, I thank you for joining me once again on my Lake Show rant here on GQ's Kickback for Blurreds. Peace.